It is the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Now we meet the Ohio Supreme Court's first director of diversity, equity, and inclusion, who plans to speak tomorrow evening as part of a UW-Green Bay Civil Liberties public lecture series called All Rise. Join in on DEI in the court system and the work of making the legal profession more inclusive. 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Adrienne Fletcher started the role in May. Previously, she was an assistant professor and assistant dean of diversity, equity, and inclusion at Case Western Reserve University's Mandel School of Applied Social Sciences in Cleveland. Adrienne, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Good morning, Kate, and thank you so much for having me on this morning.
Well, introduce us to your position at the Ohio Supreme Court. What does it entail?
So, Kate, it is very exciting to be in this brand new inaugural role. And in my role at the Supreme Court and the state of Ohio, my primary initiatives really involve leading, creating, planning, and implementing, monitoring, and evaluating programming that is related to broad-based DEI. Yes, by all means, that means race and ethnicity. But Kate, I really want to stress that DEI also means culture. It means disability. It means age. It means gender. It means religion. It means sexual orientation, sexual identity. It means transgender. It means inclusion in every way that we can think about.
As you list off these things, it reminds me that we see leaders in just every sector of our society figuring out how to align, you know, their words and actions pertaining to DEI. And I'm wondering, are there differences in what DEI looks like in the judicial setting as you see it versus what DEI is like in the university setting and in academia where you came from?
So, Kate, I think that no matter where we are, as we begin to implement this new way of living and this new way of being, we all need to be careful. I like to say it's a delicate dance. We want to be respectful of all individuals in their many intersectional identities as they identify themselves and as they live and breathe. So it is a delicate dance as people identify themselves. So there may be some differences as we think about academic freedom in the academy. And then as we think about the judiciary and politics. So there may be some differences in those areas, but nonetheless, I think being respectful of the way individuals identify themselves is always paramount.
What is that back and forth like, that dance like, if you will, with judges? How much power do you have over Ohio judges and how they run their courtrooms?
Of course. So one of the things that we can think about is whenever we introduce ourselves, Kate, and I didn't have the opportunity to do this on Zoom if we were on camera. One of the things that I can do is I introduce myself to individuals who are judges or magistrates or attorneys is say, hi, my name is Adrienne Fletcher, and my pronouns are she, her, and hers. What that does is automatically opens a door about identity. And what that does is causes a judge to begin to think about those pieces, those different pieces that we don't typically think about regarding identity. And what that begins to do is to raise awareness about some of these notions.
Do you feel that pronouns then is a door to walk through for judges, maybe as they, approach the bench? Or how would you see pronouns used in the courtroom?
Sure. So it certainly is a beginning point. Mm-hmm. And what we can know is that there are most likely judges and for sure attorneys who have intersections in their identity, which they would most likely prefer no longer to hide. And so I'd like to say it is a beginning point. It is a place to begin a conversation. And with that being a launching point, we may begin to be able to have more conversations regarding religion and ethnicity and culture and disability, things that are often hidden from public view. So we may be able to begin to have more conversations around these notions that are sometimes hidden and are very much a part of our identities that are important to us as individuals.
Part of your role, you mentioned it, is to identify opportunities for better access to the judicial system. Mm-hmm. Where do you see barriers with access? What do you see there?
Right. So access is terribly important. Access is important for not only individuals who want to enter the field of law as legal professionals. Access is also important to litigants. So it's really an internal issue, and it's also an external issue. So when we think about access internally, we want to think about creating a robust pipeline with between our courts, the Supreme Court, and our local courts and the law schools. So one of the opportunities that we would like to build is a relationship with the DEI deans, assistant deans, and associate deans, and each of the law schools within the state of Ohio in order to build that pipeline, ensure that we have externs who are from a diverse background. Again, that is not just race and ethnicity. It also has to do with religion and ability and disability. And we'd like to build clerkships, right, with individuals who are also from diverse backgrounds. So that is the internal piece. And then there is the external piece regarding access. We'd like to assure that individuals who work in our court are from diverse backgrounds so that when our litigants step into our courtrooms, they see individuals who look like them. Again, not just about race, ethnicity, though that is an important piece. We want to see individuals with varying physical challenges or other intersections of our identity. So we want to assure that individuals have equal access when they step into our courts.
I'm wondering, you know, someone hearing this and thinking, how might this work in Wisconsin? And I noticed that the Michigan Supreme Court appointed 26 members to a commission on diversity, equity, and inclusion in the Michigan judiciary this year. New Jersey Supreme Court has a standing committee on DEI. Would you recommend state Supreme Courts create like a DEI commission or a committee, or should there be a DEI office more integrated into the realm of the org chart? What would you recommend?
Right. So Kate, pardon me. So I think what is important is that a state is aware of the trouble, right? So if a state is aware that there are issues regarding lack of access, particularly regarding race, ethnicity, gender, ability, and disability, and then they choose to intentionally create either a role, a specific role such as mine, or a commission or some type of entity to begin to move the needle forward in order to begin to make a difference and really work to, I like to say, begin to take apart the intractable thicket. So Kate, there are many ways to begin to initiate change in this area, whether it be a commission or a specific role such as mine.
How do you measure that work that is making mm-hmm. a difference? Mm-hmm. You know, how do you gauge it?
Sure. So it's very important that we put metrics in place, right? Metrics need to go in place along with the initial recommendations. So one of the things that we have sought to put in place initially is to look at creating broader with our hiring process. What we want to put in place is more places to put our position descriptions. I'm sorry, I was searching for my words.
That's okay.
So we need to create a broader pool for placing position descriptions as we seek to hire more diverse populations. And so one of the things that we have done is reached out to several of our affinity bar associations, not just in the state of Ohio, but also across the country. And in doing that, we saw an immediate yield in the individuals who applied for positions and who were also interviewed for positions within the Supreme Court. So that is one place, one initial place where folks can see an immediate yield in diverse populations applying for positions within their court systems. Another place where we can eventually, where we can immediately count, and this is considered a metric, is creating a learning module that will have an impact on raising awareness regarding implicit biases in individuals who sit on learning panels. Who sit on hiring panels.
Okay.
And that type of learning module will create, again, an immediate yield in, we can count, we can see changes in that area. So there are several metrics that we can put in place and we can begin to count.
We're talking with Adrienne Fletcher, who is the Ohio Supreme Court's first Director of Diversity, Equity, and Inclusion, speaking at UW Green Bay tomorrow. Join in on the work of ensuring access to justice for all. What that means, 800-642-1234. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. It is The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. As we dig into DEI, diversity, equity, and inclusion in high courts across America, according to a Washington Post analysis of lawyers who've delivered oral arguments in recent years before SCOTUS, the U.S. Supreme Court, Black and Hispanic attorneys are starkly underrepresented among Supreme Court litigators. Women also significantly underrepresented, and there are particularly few women of color. Join in on DEI in the judicial system, 800-642-1234. Adrienne Fletcher is the Ohio Supreme Court's first director of DEI and stays with us. Adrienne, I want to talk about incarceration because Wisconsin incarcerates a higher rate of Black adults than any other state in the nation. The Prison Policy Initiative says Ohio also has an overrepresentation of Black and Latino people in jails and prisons. Is part of your job aimed at reducing racial disparities in incarceration?
Right. So, Kate, I can say indirectly, that is certainly a part of my role. So let me say that first, we do have the Criminal Sentencing Commission, which is one of the affiliated offices within the Supreme Court. And the Ohio Sentencing Commission, as an affiliated office, routinely brings together judges and prosecuting and defense attorneys, behavioral health professionals and academics and corrections officials and many others to sit down together and think about in a bipartisan way, meaningful ways to move forward and process the outcomes through creative solutions. And not to oversimplify any of the things that are happening, but to really look at what is going on regarding the Ohio sentencing troubles and look at fair sentencing in the state of Ohio.
Do you have a seat at the table?
So it's interesting. So part of my role is really engaging with each of the divisions and offices at the Supreme Court and also the affiliated offices. And this morning, when we get off of the call, I will have a meeting with the Criminal Sentencing Commission.
Ah.
It will be my first meeting. Yes.
What might that conversation be like?
So first and foremost, we'd like to look at what has already been done and what the plans will be moving forward. And what I have found thus far with the Supreme Court is that the offices are terribly collaborative. And I am looking to learn, first of all, listen and learn. And secondly, to offer any expertise that I might have regarding the initiatives that they already have in place.
How closely do you work with people involved in the judicial process who are involved in the court system? I mean, because when you're trying to reduce barriers to access, I would imagine you also have to talk with people themselves who are in the system.
So, and so are you talking about litigants specifically?
Yes. Uh-huh.
So at this juncture, I have not had the opportunity to speak with litigants.
Okay.
Thus far, My listening and learning sessions have been with individuals within the court, and we have also had the opportunity to talk with many of the affinity bar associations and municipal metropolitan bar associations.
When you work
with... But we will be expanding our reach.
Okay. So when you work with the Ohio law schools, how can working with law schools influence DEI in the judicial system? Can you connect the dots there?
Absolutely. So what we know, Kate, and this happens with many of our professional schools, what we know is that the retention rate for many of our diverse students tends to be lower, right? So in working with the assistant or associate deans of the law schools, we want to think about retention rates and what we can do to help our law students of color or law students who have other challenges remain in their programs so that they can finish and go ahead and take that bar exam and pass the bar exam. So we want to think about attrition and retention rates and what we can do to help improve.
What is your advice or resources you can point to other states like Wisconsin's court system hoping to improve and expand their DEI efforts?
Mm-hmm. So one of the first things that we should do is assess, really honestly and authentically assess what is going on within your state. Look at your incarceration rates, pardon me, just as Ohio has looked at their incarceration rates. Also look at the percentages of attorneys within your state who are from diverse backgrounds. Again, not just race, ethnicity, but also other religious backgrounds, gender, of course, ability and disability. Look at the landscape of your pool, of your legal pool, and consider whether or not it is diverse. Kate, what we know is that as a population, as a legal population, we are better together. The more voices we have at the table that are diverse, the better we do at problem solving, the better we do at creating meaningful initiatives, the better we do at decreasing the troubles and some of the ills, some of the social ills that we experience in our communities.
Adrienne, thank you for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me today, Kate.
Adrienne Fletcher is the Ohio Supreme Court's first Director of Diversity, Equity, and Inclusion. We have a link to her talk tomorrow at UW Green Bay as part of the All Rise Lecture Series on Civil Liberties. It's at WPR.org/mornings. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network.